Phil Khoury is in our Parliament House studios. Phil, good morning.
Morning, friend.
Phil, we were talking earlier to Jennifer Westacott there, mentioning that Tony Abbott speech in London overnight. Labor and the Greens called the speech loony, but they're also saying Tony Abbott's calling the shots on climate change. It is true that his five-point plan, which has been going on about all year, does include the demand to drop the renewable energy target. And what we have now is a government signalling it's going to not go ahead with a clean energy target, and it is going to stop eventually renewable energy subsidies. Looks a little bit like what Tony Abbott's calling for. Is that a problem for Malcolm Turnbull?
Oh, look, not quite in terms, technically speaking. The renewable energy target, which by 2020 says, you know, 23% of power must be generated from renewable sources. I don't think the government's got any intention of getting rid of that. That's too much sovereign risk and so forth attached to that. So that will be allowed to run. Where the resistance has come from Abbott and others on the backbench is doing something, well, Abbott doesn't oppose the CET, but the renewable energy target, but where others have been resistant is doing anything on top of that in form of a clean energy target, adopting that post-2020, which would operate very similarly to a renewable energy target in it would just mandate the use of clean energy instead of just renewable energy. Where the government was sort of hinting this week, Frydenberg and others, that they don't want to subsidise renewables post-2020 because the cost of them is coming down so low now that shouldn't be warranted. That's talking about, you know, doing a clean energy target post-2020. But I can understand people out there as confused as Billy O over all this. And it's just a coincidence. I mean, Abbott gave that speech in London.
It was quite a speech. Did you get a sense of what the Prime Minister thinks about it? He wasn't saying anything to questions yesterday.
No, he did an FM radio station yesterday. But he wasn't asked about it. Look, I assume it was the same as most others in the Liberal Party, and it was a fair bit of eye rolling. He's got a fair rump of agreement in terms of some of the things he said on policy and stuff, but the rhetoric around the science of climate change and the thing about goat sacrificing. I think most people sort of worked it out. He's one of the more fungible characters in Parliament, and you know, he's had swinging views on climate change over the years. In fact, you could probably find newspaper clippings and so forth where he's held every conceivable
view. Yeah, we all saw them
on
the TVs last night.
Yeah, so, I mean, no one really takes it that seriously anymore. Okay. It's more about Tony just being Tony and trying to wreck the joint. But as you said, it comes at the exact same time the government's crab walking away from a CET and coming up with something else, so you can Labor and Greens just join the dots whether they're there to be joined or not.
All right. The High Court enters its second day of hearings today into the dual citizenship case with those seven politicians. The Chief Justice, Susan Kiefel, seemed a little intolerant from the bench yesterday of politicians not knowing their status. She suggested they have had more than 20 years to respond to the court's landmark ruling on dual citizenship. Did you read anything into this, do you think?
With all the power of my science degree, friend.
That's right. Maybe we shouldn't read into the High Courts.
But no, I think everyone sort of had a little eyebrow raising moment then. And the Justice Kiefel saying, yeah, we really shouldn't be here. You people really should be able to, you know, do your due diligence before you come into Parliament. So I guess, you know, we'll have to wait and see what the final judgment is. And there's two more days of hearing. But certainly, the initial take from that was, the justices collectively may judge the section of the Constitution in a black letter way and kick them all out.
And just briefly and finally, the ABS figures yesterday show the returns in the same-sex marriage survey are slowing down, but both camps, and you've written this today, the yes and the no camp are privately of the view that probably the numbers are with the yes vote. The no campaigners are already turning their arguments, aren't they, to what they argue are problems with the enabling legislation.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. I mean, the polls predicted this quite accurately before, that around 65, 70% of people would vote. And we had yesterday, we had 9 million people voted in the first 3 weeks and 800,000 in the fourth week, according to the ABS yesterday. So it looks like it's tapering off around those levels. Both anecdotally, if you talk to people in both camps, their feedback and I guess where they're if they're doing their sneaky, tracky polling, shows that the yes vote tends to be ahead. No one's got any numbers, of course. So there's just a view. It's not nothing more than that. No one's calling it. So you're right. If the yes vote prevails, and we want another 3 weeks before 4 weeks till we find out,
and another 6 million ballot papers, survey papers not returned.
If they come, then the blue will be over the legislation and these various protections that have been argued about, and to ensure they're included in the bill that goes to the through the Parliament.
Phil, thank you very much.
You're welcome, friend.
Phil Khoury, Chief Political Correspondent with the Australian Financial Review.